So we are here today for a baptism service. We're going to be baptizing two young men who have given their life to Christ. And we're excited for them. We're praying for them. And we're glad that all of you showed up to support that and spend this time with you. And I would like, before we move ahead with that, I would like to share some thoughts from the scripture on the question of why baptism. In light of what we just talked about, it's a good question to ask. If I've been crucified with Christ, if I've been raised in newness of life, if I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places, why should I be baptized? What more do I need? And now that I've experienced a new birth, and so we want to talk about that a little bit. Why baptism? If you look at Romans 6, we've been there already, but notice he says in Romans 6, verse 4, "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." So, by the way, this is not talking about water baptism. This is talking about a spiritual being buried in a spiritual sense into Jesus and being raised in newness of life. So baptism, water baptism, does not create this experience of being immersed into Christ, but rather it demonstrates what happened to us spiritually in a physical way. So it demonstrates in a physical way what happened to us spiritually. So spiritually, as we talked about, we've been buried with Christ. We've been immersed, which is what the word baptism means, immersed. We've been immersed into Christ, and we've been raised with him in newness of life. So we're just going to see a physical demonstration of that, of what has taken place in their hearts already. So it doesn't create this reality, it demonstrates this reality. In Acts verse 8, verse 35, it says, "Then Philip opened his mouth," and beginning at this scripture, we have the account of Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch. So the Ethiopian eunuch is on the chariot. He's riding on the chariot, and he's reading the scriptures, and he's reading in Isaiah about how Jesus was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and he's trying to understand it. And God is working in his heart, and God sends Philip to run alongside and ask him some questions. And Philip had the wonderful privilege to preach Christ to him and share the good news about Jesus with him. And it seems like God just opened his heart at that moment on the chariot. God opened his heart to the gospel, and he understood what it meant for Jesus to die for the first time. It says in Acts 8, verse 35, "Then Philip opened his mouth," and beginning at this scripture, it says he preached Jesus to him. And as he went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "There's one thing. There's one condition. There's one qualification. There's one thing that you need to understand before you are baptized." He says, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." So Philip just wanted to make sure that he understood that in order to qualify for water baptism, there is a condition you need to meet, and that is that you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And so you see, at that moment of faith, God is just, and he's a justifier of the one who believes in Jesus. And so at the moment that he believed, I believe that transaction happened. He was taken out of Adam, and he was put into Christ. And the miracle of grace, the wonder of the new birth took place at that moment. And so in response to that, not to create that, but in response to that, he said, "Let's go down into the water." And so they went down, they went into the water, they came back out of the water. And the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. So he was saved at that moment, and then baptism was just a demonstration of what happened in his heart just moments before. So I would say, when we consider the question, why baptism, I would say baptism is a demonstration of a spiritual reality. It demonstrates what happened to us spiritually. Secondly, baptism is for the remission of our sins. In Acts 2, verse 37, it says, as Peter was preaching the gospel to them, it says, when they heard this, it said they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter, they were convicted. They were convicted of their sin. They were convicted that I have transgressed against God. I'm guilty before God. And that has to happen before conversion. We cannot be saved. We cannot be converted unless we understand our sin and our transgression against God. Because otherwise, what are we saved from? Why would we feel a need to be saved if we don't sense and understand and know our lost condition? So we need to understand that we're sinners. We need to understand that we've sinned against God. We need to understand that we've transgressed and we're condemned to die. But they did. As they heard the gospel being preached, it cut them to the heart. And it became very personal for them. And they said, that's me. I'm guilty before God. And once they got to that place where they understood their guilt, they were ready for the solution, the answer. And Peter said, in response to their question, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So they had repented, they believed the gospel, and baptism was just that final sealing of the deal. It was the closing of the envelope of salvation. It was the final completion of the package. It was like the final driving of the stake of their salvation. It brought closure to that. It's done. I'm finished with my old life, and I've set my face to follow Christ. And that's a beautiful, when we think about why baptism, I think that's a beautiful way of just bringing closure to all of that. You know, as we've looked at that, we've looked at our past, we've looked at that sin, we've looked at that separation, we felt that condemnation, we've embraced and believed the gospel, and now we just seal that, we close the package, we drive the stake, we set our face forward, and we put all that behind us. That's what baptism does. Salvation and baptism adds us to the body of Christ. In Acts 2, verse 41, he says, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. In that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And so salvation and baptism added them to the assembly of believers, to the body of Christ. We are baptized into the body of Christ. Now, just to be clear, we don't believe that salvation and baptism somehow binds us to a particular church denomination. However, it does add you to the body of Christ. And it is also a very important part of an experience that the church experiences and shares together. Now, if you're in a situation that's similar to the Ethiopian eunuch and God sends a Philip in your life, then by all means, get baptized. But I do think that God's ultimate purpose for baptism is that it would be in the context of the broader church experience. A great model, an example of this, is in the very first baptism in the book of Acts. And I love and I find myself continually going back there as a reference, because I think it just really models what we should strive for and what can be ultimately a beautiful, full experience of a convert coming in to Christ and then experiencing life amongst the believers. In Acts 2, verse 41, it says, those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And so we can see here that their experience of baptism was not just an isolated experience, but it was in the broader context of the gospel being preached to them and then being brought into and added to the church and then discipled and able to grow in a healthy way amongst the body of believers. So we're not saying you will not experience God's blessing in different circumstances, but really, you are being somewhat shortchanged, both yourself, and you're also shortchanging the church from participating in and experiencing that blessing together, because it is a tremendous time of joy and growing in the church as we go through that time together. And finally, and maybe this is the most important one, baptism. What is baptism for? Why baptism? Baptism is a moment of grace between you and God. It is a special time between you and your Father. And at least in this sense, it becomes somewhat irrelevant on who else is there. This is a moment between you and God. It's not the only moment. You know, there's many times like that in a believer's life, moments of grace. I could share many of them with you. My baptism was one of them. But there was many moments of grace in my life. Just recently, I was driving in my truck down the road, and I was going through some things, and I had a moment of grace. It was a special time between me and Father God. And I won't take the time to tell you the whole story in this context, but only to say this, that I went away from there with the clear sense that God said to me that I love you not to get something from you, but I love you for who you are just because I love you, just because I love you. And I can't tell you what that meant to me because you don't understand everything that led up to that. But I tell you, I went away from there with new light in my heart. It was a revelation of God's love. And I haven't been the same since. It changed me. I can take you back to when I was 17 years old. Back in the back 40, a confused young man, burdened, you know, it just with the point of breaking, like I can't go on like this. And something that God did in the bush, in the woods, me and myself, to me and God, and I tell you, I walked away from there and I was not the same. I believe that happened at my baptism. Maybe if we would just open it up right now, there would be times where you could go back in your life and you could give us that confirmation and that word. And we can get up from there and we know we can go on. And my prayer for Curtis and Carter today has been that this would be a moment of grace in your lives today. A special time between you and the Father. A time where there's an intimacy. A time where you have the opportunity to express your commitment to God, your love to God, but not only that, where God does that in return, and God confirms His love and commitment to you. Did you know it's that way? You know, it's really about God's love and commitment to me. Sometimes we make it all about my love and commitment to God, but really, the bigger thing is, by far, is God's love and commitment to me. He has promised to keep me until the end. And my prayer for you both is that this could be a moment of grace. We see that in the life of Jesus. If you go to Matthew 3, verse 16, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. So this is sharing the account of Jesus' baptism. And he goes down into the water, he comes back out, and it says, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly, a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Can you think of any words that would be more beautiful to hear? I just cannot imagine of any words more beautiful to hear than Father God. You are my beloved Son, and I'm very happy with you. And my prayer is that you would have ears of faith to hear that today. God saying that to you. You're my Son, and I'm very happy with you. I tell you, that is a moment of grace. All right, well, let's continue with our plans here, and I'm going to ask if we could have the pulpit moved and the mics brought up. So the Bible talks about always being ready to give a reason for the hope that we have in Christ. And so we have given Carter and Curtis the opportunity this morning to give us a reason for the hope that they have in Christ and to share their testimony of what God has done in their life. So we're going to have them come forward at this time and give them that opportunity.
So, I guess I think it was not much older than 10 or 11 when I was depressed and I wanted to kill myself. So, I guess I was one time I was up in the haymow and I was gonna put an end to it. But I don't know why, I guess I didn't, but I, for some reason, God intervened and I didn't. So my life went on and I basically didn't like my life. And at the age of 14, I had a grandfather. He had cancer and he was dying and he's lived at our place for the last couple months of his life, and he shared to me John 3:16. He said, "That's you have to be born again to get into heaven." And I pondered that. It didn't mean anything to me right then, but now it means a lot to me. And as life went on, I think it was 16, and I was out hunting one day, and it wasn't going well. I was done with my life, and for some reason God intervened again. So I met a friend of mine. He's had a very awesome life story, and he shared it to me, and I wanted what he had. I sensed something he had I didn't have. And I just basically asked, "What do I have to do?" And it's like, "Confess your sins," is what the answer was. And I guess I confessed. And for the next couple of days, I tried to, my will was to do what God wanted me to, but I did not sense peace yet. So it was one night I was doing chores, and I guess I had a moment where I...
And when I was 3, I thought I'd become a Christian, but I actually didn't. I just made a commitment to follow God. And I asked God to forgive me right there. I was really feeling bad about my life. So I prayed that he could forgive me and that I could go and follow him. So I went downstairs and told my family and parents. They prayed with me and I felt so good after. Please pray for me that I could follow God as much as I can. Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth to the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved.